You're listening to Waveform, a show about music, discovery, and the technology that ties it all together in new and powerful ways. This program is brought to you by Wavelake, the easiest way to distribute and stream music using Bitcoin. Listen today at wavelake.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Waveform. I'm here with my partner, Sam Means. Hi, Sam. What?
I'm going to just start the show laughing every single time. You're so professional.
I can't help it. I know it's
well,
sounds...
you are an actual professional.
I just get into that voice when I turn a microphone on. I can't. It's
you
like
have a
reflex.
Really good. This maybe I'm paying way too much attention, but I feel like I'm a student of yours now. You have very good breath control.
Oh,
it's something
thank you.
I lack. It's something I lack.
That
I
was
find myself a, when I'm talking, I never take a breath, and I notice that you do, and it's and I'm like, wow, that's really helpful. I should try to do that. And then I like right now I'm just talking until I can't breathe anymore.
I think it's a trained thing from being live on air, and my brain doesn't work as fast as my mouth does, and so to compensate, I just take way too many breaths so that my brain can process language, and then I can put it out.
Well, yeah, because your brain can't work without oxygen, so that's probably helpful.
That also helps. Yeah, it's so weird. When we started doing these podcasts, I mean, I haven't done radio in over a decade, but it was so funny to like set up a microphone again, sit down in front of it, and like press record. And it was like, I felt like I was in a booth again. I was just immediately transported. My brain, my whole body just felt like I just got into the
Yeah, you're
pose.
Wearing a suit. You're shuffling papers around. You have a little cup of coffee sitting next to you that's perfectly steamed.
I did used to wear nice like button-down dress shirts in my journalism.
You did?
Days.
You got a nice haircut. You got a nice haircut right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's new.
I finally got that.
Looking
that
good.
Thank you. Thank
very
you.
Stylish.
Yeah.
Anyway, are we on air?
I think the show started without
us. Did we start this thing?
Yeah. So we're back with another episode. We got a list of things to discuss. Do you want to get to like some listener feedback comments before we like dive in? We haven't really done this, but we've been getting boostergrams and messages. So I feel like we need to acknowledge
listener mail.
Yeah.
We need at some point in time, I'm going to put a request out there for someone to make us a fun, like listener mail jingle,
like a mailbag drop.
Yeah. It's like listener mail, yeah. This is Waveform listener mail. Mm.
That's, you know, I mean, like that. I think you just made it. We can just clip that.
Yeah. So somebody just make that. Yeah. Let's
add
just
some horns to it. Cause we know Sam loves jazzy horns and big bands. And we're set.
I do love jazzy horns. Jazzy horns. I have an ongoing list of band names, and jazzy horns is being added to it. That's an album. I have band names and album names, so maybe that's a better album name than a band name. Jazzy horns.
Yeah. All right. So I want
to be like Steve Perkins and the Jazzy Horns. There you go. That works.
I'd buy that. I would look for that in the bin in the bargain bin section of my local record store. All right, so we briefly brought up Fireside Chats because we had done one in Culture Shock, or we did a few of them in Culture Shock. And so Tone Wrecker...
We were immediately corrected by Tone Wrecker, yes.
Tone Wrecker messaged us and said, Fireside Chats are actually a series of radio broadcasts by U.S. President FDR. The Fireside Chats were a series of evening radio addresses given by the president... And he spoke with familiarity to millions of Americans about recovery from the Great Depression, et cetera, in the course of World War II. So now we know we're Fireside Chats. I mean, people were probably listening to like giant radios next to their fireplaces, I imagine.
Yeah. And speaking of FDR, my dad last night told me that FDR was the only president to serve more than two terms. And they changed the law after that.
That was why they made the term limits rule.
Yeah.
Because of him.
Because of that dude.
Yep.
So he invented term limits and Fireside Chats. What a cool dude.
Amazing. This is a history podcast now.
Yeah. What else we got?
We got so, but yeah, and I just want to say, like, thanks to everyone who's been boosting us and sending little messages. Like, I don't think we're gonna go through all of them, but like Joe Martin wrote great episode, guys. Tumbleweed from Fountain wrote "Keep up the good work." Man Like Quek sent us a string of fun emojis. You know, lightning bolt, mountain, all that stuff. So
I gotta say, I love the messages. So yeah, if anyone's listening right now, just keep them coming, because it is the interaction, as we know, is one of the cooler parts about this. So
it's nice that we know we're not speaking into a completely empty void, but there is someone on the other side of this.
We know there's at least Tone Rusher and Joe Martin,
right?
So
and like a couple other
folks,
which
is much appreciated.
Yeah, but seriously, like, thanks to everyone who's been listening. And, you know, I think I've seen a couple messages on socials about, like, the show and people enjoying it. So, yeah. I love to.
And mixtape, too. Let's use this as a way to pump our other bags. We got mixtape. And Biebs on Noster the other day said that the music on Wave Lake just sounds better when curated by us.
That's really cool. Nice.
Because it's cool. I mean, we put a lot of time into that. Like, you definitely, you know, you got that great radio voice, that cool kind of college radio vibe going on mixtapes. So go listen to mixtape if you haven't checked that out yet.
Yeah, I should say, Sam.
I enjoy working on that with you, and it's fun to do.
Sam is very careful about track ordering and sequencing on those playlists. So I have to, like, if you like the sequencing and the flow of those episodes on mixtape or the volumes of mixtape, that's credit goes to Sam, because you're like, I don't know if this should go here.
Yeah, I'm not just grabbing
that
stuff and throwing it. I really,
you do.
I'm very methodical about that sequence.
So I think that's what helps it. But thanks for everyone who's been listening and enjoying it. And keep sending us your thoughts. Because we do see it, and we'll keep doing the shows and use any feedback you have to try to make these as good as possible.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about a couple things coming out or that have come out in the last week, just from a Wave Lake standpoint. We just announced custom charts last week, which is a very, like, simplistic little feature, but it allows anyone to be able to, like, build a custom chart. We have a Zine article about it. But you can build a custom chart with the top rock songs for the last 60 days, and you can embed that on your website, or you can share it on Noster, and it makes a little playlist of those songs. And if it is a chart that's ordered by earnings, then it will be dynamic. So it'll evolve over time. Yeah, I'm excited to see how people use it. If you all have any thoughts on things that we could change or things we could add to it to make it cooler for you, definitely let us know, because we're just trying to make tools that add value to this whole ecosystem that we're trying to build.
Yeah, I think ultimately, I mean, not to, I love promising things, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But I think ultimately we want to just have, you know, like a big list of music that you can sort of filter however you want very easily, whether that's your own thing that you're putting together or just on Wave Lake, you'll be able to filter through this stuff, which is fun. I think it's cool. It's just, is there even anything really like that? You know, like using it it's like a database of media that you're able to just filter out in various ways,
yeah,
and then discover, you know, I'm just thinking this through. It's like going through, just clicking a few buttons sort of arbitrarily and then hitting play and see what happens,
right?
You know,
yeah, the idea is like
what was going on this week, I'll just listen. Like, it's fun.
Exactly.
If you ever go back and look at the, like, the list, it's like, what was the, you know, the number one song when I was born or something.
Yeah,
it's fun to go back and look at that and see what was charting the month you were born. And I've made playlists out of things like that before, like times in my life where I'm like, I'm just going to go put the music at this particular part of my life that was really, I'm really fond of right now. I'm just thinking about, I'm going to go make a playlist of that era to try to bring me back to that time.
Yeah.
Remember, fun to be able to do stuff like that.
Billboard, I don't know if they do this anymore, but they used to put out CDs that were like top 10 hits of March 1989. And it would be like, it would be a sort of snapshot of what was, you know, hot in that particular year or month. I can't remember which one it was. That's kind of the idea behind this. And I don't know. I mean, it is, this is like the nerd in me kind of hoping there's other nerds that I can sort of reach with these kinds of tools is, let someone, you know, kind of manipulate the library in a way to show them like different angles of the music and, you know, look at it from a different way and be able to show like a list that, you know, no one else has really ever come up with before. And I think that could be really cool and interesting.
It's going to be really cool. I mean, it's a little, I mean, it's not techie now, but it's just basically you have, it's very manual.
Yeah.
You have to edit it in the URL bar.
Yeah. Well, it could be
just with these little, I mean, I think, these little filters, but it could be done much simpler.
Yes. I think you've alluded to this where it would be nice where we could have the chart, we could have
like
buttons.
A little filter set.
Yeah. You could have buttons on the page and it's just, you just, you know, scroll through different choices and selections and like, it changes the filtering dynamically. That could be really cool. We can do that eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be cool. I'm excited. I'm excited for these types of things.
Yeah. The other thing I didn't talk to you about announcing this yet, but I think it's okay to. So like Josh and I,
you know me, I like to pre-announce everything before, well before it's ready.
I think this will be out, if not when this podcast is published, but if not then, soon after, which is we've got custom playlists coming to the mobile app. It's
finally
just about ready to go. This will be, I mean, you know, I make it sound like it's a big deal when it's like available on every other music, you know, app in the world.
Yeah, it's like the first thing we should have done.
Yeah. But anyway,
guys, we just came up with this crazy idea. It's called playlists.
No one's ever thought of it.
Really.
So this will let you make a custom playlist.
We've been testing them out. Yeah, we've been testing them out. They work great. I made one yesterday. It was awesome.
Yeah, and then you'll also be able to share it, and then you know people will be able to listen to them, boost the artists in the playlist, and then eventually we want people to be able to earn boosts for the playlist
on the playlist itself.
Yeah,
got some real wild ideas there, but we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah,
baby steps.
Yeah, so those are the two.
We'll start with the obvious first.
Yes.
I'm excited for playlists.
Before, do you have a song? Before we get to a song, I know we want to play a song. But before we get to that, I just want to mention real quick: there are about two more weeks left in the Bitcoin is a Record competition.
We've
got
go submit your track.
Yeah, we've got about, I think there are about 80-ish entries so far.
Yeah,
a lot of great songs on there. There's been a lot of interaction with the songs, people, you know, boosting tracks. So the competition entries can be submitted up until the end of March. And then all through the month of April, we'll just continue tallying sats to find the 21 finalists. So
So get
upload your song,
I was just going to say the easiest way to find it, just go to zine.wavelake.com and look for the Bitcoin is a Record post. I think it's the second or third one down.
Yeah. So I'd say, encourage your friends to give it a try. Yeah. Let's do a song. What do you got, Sam?
There's some good stuff on there. I think this track was just uploaded a week ago, a bunch of tracks by this artist, Lumba. I'm pretty sure it started popping up around Wednesday of last week. And this song in particular, there's many good songs. Let's see. She's uploaded, looks like about 10 tracks now, something like 10 tracks. But this song, WWT in August, is very great. I love it. I encourage you to boost this while we play it. Boost this thing into the stratosphere because it's very very great. It's very sweet. Good song. So this is WWT dot 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 in August by Lumba.
I write about you like I promised to, and sing about you every chance that I get. You tore me to shreds, but I got my revenge. You begged for chances already squandered. I show no mercy, I declined with grace. Kept you close enough, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, but we just keep fighting, our hearts keep on mending. Bruises are self-inflicted, you bruise me then fix it. And we are a party of the sweetest and I swear to make it better. Never be like it. No, oh, 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 oh. No, oh, 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 oh. I think about you, I write about you. But I know daytime's always every drunken mind. Your curse will break, my love will dissipate. My heart is on the mend, please don't try again. The way we're together never really ends well. We're sadder than ever, broken and shattered. I fix you and break you, you'll kiss me and stab me. It's chaos in the making. Oh, and we just keep fighting, our hearts keep on mending. Bruise is self-inflicted, you bruise me then fix it. And we are a party of the sweetest at all. Swear to make it better than never really get there. No, oh, 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 no, oh, 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 oh. It's so unlike me. So like me to think I'm selfless. It's so like me to make you feel so worthless. Oh, when we're together, it never really ends well. We're sadder than ever, we're broken and shattered. I fix you and break you, you kiss me and stab me. It's chaos in the making. Oh, we just keep fighting, our hearts keep on mending. Bruise is self-inflicted, you bruise me then fix it. When we are a party, you're the sweetest at heart. Swear to make it better. But never really get there. No, oh, oh, oh.
Yeah, that's a beautiful song. I like the, it's just like the sparse production, and then it kind of gets lush at just a few different moments. And that really hits when
there's a cool kind of pop in. Everything is so subtle. There's a cool little cello in there that's kind of in the background, and the thing I actually love is there's a like the most incredibly subtle delay on her voice and a couple of those parts, and if you really listen you can hear it kind of echoing in the background. It's cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Lumba, if you're listening, thanks for trying this whole crazy thing out. It's really nice to hear a new voice.
Absolutely.
It's always nice to hear new voices, but I'm glad you're thriving.
Drummer boy is coming out again.
Cymbal again. I hit the cymbal again.
Oh, we should say that.
We should
put that out there. Tone Wrecker.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of Tone Wrecker, yeah, you played drums. you accidentally played drums in the last episode, and then I made you play a little beat, and then Tone Wrecker made a couple loops out of it. So if anybody wants to turn those into songs, then hit us up.
Yeah, let's just throw. I think he'll be okay with it if we just throw the loops at the end of the episode, just as an Easter egg.
Yeah, there you
go. Let's just throw one of those loops in, and see if people do anything with it. I actually was messing around on my guitar to one of those loops when he gave it to us.
I was waiting for it. I sounded like you were working on something. I'm like, what's he got? Some new tunes coming out. The Vertigo Kid.
I came up with like a couple different riffs against it, and like none of them really. Anyway, we'll keep working on it and see if I can find something cool. All right. Let's talk about this whole putting music into podcasts thing that we're doing and other people are doing. Like, was it our first episode? We had Cody on. He's got the Sidestream Music Podcast. There's Booster Graham Ball. There's a bunch of other ones.
Shows. We know Phantom Power's got.
Oh yeah, quite Phantom Power. I mean, there's a good number of these out there right now.
Yeah.
I just had someone on a call ask me like, "Hey, I'm interested in like using Wavelake Music in my podcast. How do I do that? How does it work?" So I started going down this kind of complicated technical rabbit hole of, well, you know, yeah, you can include it, but you should also update your RSS feed so that you can incorporate the splits, so that if you have a value for value podcast,
right,
then, you know, a music player that supports that can be able to like send payments to both you and the artist. I mean, it just gets like the few sentences I just said are an alien language to most people.
Right.
That's
the problem.
There's that technical hurdle. Right. That's a problem. There's that technical hurdle. But then even broader than that, or at a higher level than that, there's this question mark around like licensing that I think a lot of people don't understand. So I'm not gonna name names, but I know specifically of some podcasts out there that I listen to that play popular music during their podcast, like either at the top or at the end as like bumper music or as intro music, without, and I'm pretty sure that they don't have the rights to do that, but they might not know that. I don't think people understand,
or they just
how
don't
this
care.
Works.
I mean, we do.
They don't care.
Yeah, I do the Wastoid stuff, and we play music all the time in it. And we, you know, sometimes we get copyright strikes, and we just have to deal with it. That stuff mostly comes on YouTube. I think that's where it's a little more reckless and careless is when you're trying to do it on YouTube, where they have those types of algorithms checking, you know, doing the sort of Shazam magic that just scans things to see if something's there. But I think most people are just like, no one's, especially podcasts, you know, there's prior to any of this stuff happening, there really wasn't much way to make money off of a podcast. If you were at a certain scale, or most scales, very few people were actually making money off podcasts. And very few people are still making money or even still making money off podcasts. So I think you're able to fly under the radar a little bit there, unless it becomes something that's big, in which case that's when, you know, we've talked about this, and what we're going to talk about right now, I guess, is somebody using a Wavelake track right now. It's kind of cool. You can sort of do whatever you want, sort of this Wild West world But what if something breaks out and it becomes this huge thing, and they've set a terms, they've set terms that aren't necessarily ideal for the artist, or maybe the artist just doesn't like the show and doesn't necessarily want to be part of it, you know, like, how does that work? And it's a tough thing to think about when you're working on an open network and you have this idea where everything's available and you're sort of just hoping that everyone's going to be cool, but everyone's not going to be cool. We know that as things progress, yeah, you're going to have people that just do whatever they want. And they're going to be like, what? It's open. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah. And I want to be clear, you know, I think the people who are putting unlicensed music in their podcast, I don't think they're doing it out of any sort of like ill intent.
Oh, or no,
like,
of course not.
You know, trying to like scam anyone. I think they're doing it as fans of the music and fans of the artist, and they're wanting to showcase it. I think, you know, we're getting to a point where we do need to start thinking about and addressing some of these questions around the artist's rights mainly. Yeah. So if we're enabling artists to publish and helping them to distribute their music in this open way, where like on the one side, it's great that it can be featured on podcasts and be shared with, you know, an even bigger circle of listeners. On the other hand, we need to figure out some simple way to protect the rights of the artist, of the creator, so that if, like you said, if a podcast gets really big, thanks to, you know, some of this music, how do we ensure that the artists are fairly compensated, or that they have the right to like refuse for their music to appear on said podcast or movie or video? None of this is really figured out yet. And I think that's what makes this all interesting. And I know there are some conversations happening around, you know, there's some early conversations happening around what this license could look like.
Yeah.
But it's still really nascent. And, you know, the balance that I would really like to strike is helping to nurture experimentation, creativity, and not stifle any of that, while at the same time, like, protecting people's rights.
Yeah, it's tough.
To their
we obviously have to think far ahead into the future. I mean, we've been thinking about this and discussing this since day one. It's just kind of fun right now. So, you know, at some point in time, we have to get down and dirty with the reality of what we're up against here and what we're going to have to navigate around. You know, this is the music business, as we've discussed many times, is a total shit show. You know, there's lots of expectations, I think, from people, or there will be expectations from people to, I guess they're just going to want answers. They're going to have a lot of questions and they're going to want answers, and they're probably not going to be totally okay with some of the answers that they get. So we have to start thinking about this stuff a little bit differently pretty soon, while still, like you said, maintaining the experimental side of it, because we do need people to just try this out right now without there being a big barrier of entry. We say a lot, like, we want just frictionless onboarding. You know, we don't want someone to have to agree to a 20-page license just to upload a track that they did in their basement 2 years ago that they don't really care. They don't care about the license. They just want to put some music up and see what happens, you know? So yeah, it's like you said, finding that balance is tough.
Yeah. I think I have a relatively, I'd say, superficial understanding of how music licensing in general works. So like, if you wanted to include like traditional music, let's say, in a podcast or in a YouTube video, how that works. But, you know, I think you're a lot more familiar with it, so I think I'd like to know sort of how you think about traditional licensing, and can you describe sort of simply how it works and what
Can I guess describe simply how it works? No.
Disadvantage.
No, but I mean it's so convoluted and there's so many different, we've talked about this so much. There's so many different versions of what this looks like. And it's different in every country is different. So the regions are different. You know, it's like something happened. Someone was asking me something the other day about something like, hey, where is this going? What region are you doing this in? And I'm like, well, it's on the internet. So I'm doing it everywhere. Oh, I was talking about licensing music videos that it was for Wastoids. It was a Wastoids thing. And I just keep shouting out Wastoids today. But no, we were like, we want to play old music videos. How do you do that? Like there must be, it must be kind of easy. Like who are people really barging down the doors for like 120 minute era videos, you know, or 120 minutes era videos. But yeah, they came at me with like a crazy questionnaire and a ton of questions about it and like what capacity I was doing it and the length and am I monetizing any aspect of it? Is it going to be on TV? Is it just on the internet? What are the regions and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I've had music licensed quite a bit actually over the last several years. And it can be simple if you allow it to be. I mean, if you have control over the music as I do, it can be simple, you know, and I think that's why I've been able to have it licensed so much, because I just have a real easy handshake deal with the music supervisor. That's just like, hey, send me any tracks that you're cool to be in commercials and stuff. And I can, it's as simple as her being like, hey, I got you one. Are you cool with this? Yes or no. And I just say yes. And then it's over, you know, but when I've had that happen with tracks that have been owned by labels, it's very different. It's a very different conversation. So, you know, when it comes to how the stuff is placed in a YouTube video, let's say you're just a content creator, which I hate that term, but let's just say you're a content creator. YouTube, it's actually kind of cool the way that they've done it. You know, they've figured out an easy way for you. They're like, no one's going to stop using music and videos. It's impossible. You know, so we have to embrace this kind of, and figure out a way to allow them to continue to do this, you know, but that the artist will be compensated for it barely. And most importantly, we will be compensated for it. So it's cool. So when you put up a, you know, if you're making a YouTube video and you drop a track in your video, as long as it's in their license library, you're fine. Cause it's just like streaming a track. Anyone that watches that video is just streaming it like they are anywhere else. And a certain portion of that gets paid to them. Where it gets kind of hairy, and this is where you and I were talking about this a bit the other day, and you're like, let's just start kind of slow. You know, we don't want to get too down in the weeds about how something is used, but it's true. Like the major difference is like, let's say a big YouTuber or a big podcaster, somebody decided they wanted to use my song as their theme song or their intro music. And now it's not just like a passive track in a video. It's attached to the identity of something. And that can be really weird for an artist. You know, it's usually that's something that you want to have some say in. Because maybe they're not aligned with you in a certain way, or maybe this podcast is about politics in a very specific form that you're not aligned with, or maybe it's about, you know, shilling products that you think are stupid and you just don't want and people are just going to jump to the conclusion that you are somehow affiliated with this because you gave it your stamp. They would just assume that you allowed this to happen, so you must be on board. That's where it gets tough now when we start to think about how this stuff is going to play out, because with an open library, you're not always getting that. This is sort of, at least in its current state, it is a permissionless type of a exchange. One that has the ability to generate revenue and make that connection, but also one that allows someone to just take something and use it however they want. So that's the question. That's really what we want to get into, is how do we put those protections in place, whether that's in the feed, you know, this is conversation that other people are having too right now. And it's like, how do we put this in RSS feeds? Do we broadcast these things on notes that still will be almost impossible to truly police, similarly to the way YouTube couldn't, you know, most people can't. Like the internet is a wild place. There's a lot of corners and it's hard to watch all of them and make sure everybody's playing the game like they're supposed to. But what will happen is if you do at least have those in place, if you have at least as an artist set your boundaries for how you personally want your music to be distributed, then if somebody does go against one of those things, you have an argument then. You know, you have something in writing. You've released something to the world with some asterisks on it. You know, it's like, I'm okay with this. If you want to just put this and play this in your show and you want to put this in somewhere, I'm fine with this. But if this is attached to, if this is intro music, I'm maybe not cool with that. And that doesn't mean someone's not going to use it. They will, but it does mean if someone uses it and that show gets big and it comes back to you and you want to be like, hey, look, I put this in here, this isn't cool, like, you know, please take it down, then maybe they will, you know, because you do have that in place. So that really doesn't work any differently than right now. I mean, we have these invisible barriers all over the place with licenses and stuff, and it's like, what's going to stop anybody from just dropping one of my songs in a commercial for Tide? You know, the only thing that's going to stop them is it's going to cost them a lot of money if they have, like, that's what will stop them. If they have a successful commercial and someone comes along and is like, hey, I didn't say you could do this. Now they have to pull all that back, reshoot the commercial. You know, it's like they wouldn't do that. But somebody
I think the enforcement is still, like, it's impossible to enforce any of this in a 100% way.
No, it's just,
like,
the fear of litigation is really the only thing that stops it. And so if you don't have that, you have to have some kind of contract, you know, even if it's questionable, at least it's there. Right now, no one has anything. So it's a little scary to a certain type of artist. And that makes perfect sense. That makes absolute sense. Right now we have people who are just interested in the idea and probably aren't thinking this far and are probably thrilled to be making anything on there or to have it featured anywhere, because a lot of the artists that are on Wavelake right now have not had a lot of attention on them, and that's a bummer, but that's a bummer for the past. It's awesome for the future. So it's fun for them, and it's really fun for us that there are people that are willing to take that leap right now and sort of try things out in a very open-ended way at the moment. But we are thinking about the future, and we are thinking about the protections for these artists some of these artists who may be unknown today might go on to become very popular in the future, you know? And so as a result of this, I mean, Jim Costello was just talking about that. Like, he thinks someone's going to break out of this little bubble that we have here. And if that happens, it's going to be really cool. And it's going to open the floodgates and a bunch of people are going to come in, but we may not have the same, sort of, open-minded people coming in. We're gonna probably have to have some things prepared for when the questions start coming, and that's why we're starting to talk about this now, because it is becoming clear that we're getting to some next steps here. You know, it's like we've had our fun, things are starting to work, everything's really progress. It's starting to progress. You know, so as things progress, what are the next steps? How are we going to make sure we're putting these protections in place for the future?
Yeah. And the thing that makes this so complex and such a challenging problem is I don't think it's something that can be solved with technology alone. So, like you said, you could put the license in an RSS feed, or you could put the license as an event on Nostr, or you could even attach the license inside the MP3 file is metadata. I mean, all of that is all well and good, but in terms of enforcing that license and, like you said, like policing it and making sure that people are using the music or whatever the work is according to what the artist wishes, That's a whole different challenge.
Yeah.
And, you know, a license alone doesn't solve that. And I don't think technology alone solves that. It's kind of a mix of technology and the law and rule of law, you know, in the way copyright law is enforced. But then you get into, like you were saying, you know, copyright law isn't necessarily a universal truth. It's different depending on the country you live in and, you know, how they treat things like that. Copyright is also something that has evolved a lot in the last couple hundred years in the US too, especially. And so, yeah, I think like we do have to figure it out. But it's kind of like the way that licenses and all that are enforced today is actually very sort of rudimentary and manual. Like there is, you know, there's like agents that go out, I've read, that will go out to like cafes and like listen for the music you're playing.
Yeah, you get your like, you know, ASCAP BMI police.
Exactly.
Asking for their $12 or whatever.
Yeah, like are you a member, you know, are you a paying member of ASCAP, right?
Right. But I mean, the thing here is like all these things right now are put into different, this is going to be probably, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this thought out in an articulate way, but things are in so many baskets right now. And I think you do have to keep them contained in some way. You know, I think that ultimately what will happen, like right now, everything is just spewing out into the universe. It's just like RSS, Noster, everything's just in one place, you know? The reality of the situation is probably, as I'm playing this out in my head, I'm uploading a track. It's asking me, do I want to, am I okay with these things? You know? And if I'm checking these boxes, depending on what boxes I'm checking, it's not just going everywhere now. It's going into certain places. It's going into a place that's a pool that can be chosen, where tracks can be chosen to just be inserted in as music, you know, broadcasted in like a radio style format. It's going, maybe it's also going into one that's like a pool that's okay for bumper music. And these things are, you know, it's almost like a, I don't want to call it a marketplace, but maybe they're also attached to, they have specific fee rules and stuff. Like I'm okay with this at this rate, you know. We've even discussed, but I mean, this is like big picture kind of stupid talk, but making an actual marketplace for that is an exchange between podcasters, almost like a liquidity marketplace would act now, but an advertising marketplace between artists and podcasters to be able to more closely agree on things here, and also just as a resource for people, like, hey, I'm a podcaster, I'm looking for a new beat for my intro, and here's this artist, and I really like this artist. Maybe I could just reach out on this marketplace, and now there's an agreement and exchange, and it's all well and good. But I think things will just end up in different baskets, and that's pretty similar. To try to finish my thought, that's pretty similar to how things are now. Like in some ways, you'll have these royalty-free libraries for sound effects and sound clips. You'll have them for YouTube videos, generic YouTube videos. You'll have them for sync companies to use as background music in their reality TV shows. You know, you have these big libraries of music, or for people like me, who's just like, I'm cool with this song being in a Tide commercial or whatever. You know, we have all these different libraries, and you have different people controlling those, whether it's a publishing company or an administrative, maybe having just an administrative deal with your music. Or maybe it's just the company themselves. Like this is a company that just services this generic library out in its, I sign up for it, I'm a member and I upload my music. And then I, on the other side, you sign up for it and you're someone just looking for stuff. The cool thing about the new baskets is they'll just be more broadly accessible by things, whereas they're really not in any way now. They're all very contained to these just individual things. But these new baskets would be able to be accessed by you know, multiple media forms. There could definitely, things could be, we've talked about things being able to be pulled in by, through video, through music, through radio, through whatever. And with the technology to be able to distribute these things and push these things and then also monetize these things, I think we'll just see a more efficient way for that to happen as this thing expands. But we will have to have these boundaries in place to some extent. Like, just because you're building an open network doesn't mean you can do whatever you want with whatever you want, you know, just because you have,
yeah.
There are, we talk a lot about the Creative Commons laws and open source licenses and things like that. And there's some of them are just completely open. You can do whatever you want with it. And I think there's going to be a lot of artists that are like, yeah, do whatever you want with this. I don't care. There are no boundaries. And then there will be some that just want to, just like with software or anything else, like, yeah, you can use this, you can fork it. You can't brand it as this thing, you know, maybe there's just one stipulation. Maybe some will have a couple. And I think that it's going to be very similar with music and media.
I think that's a good way to think about it. I think the payments aspect of what we're doing adds a level of efficiency for creating a system like the one you're describing that's a lot more accessible to more people. You know, one of the things that is really buzzy in the Lightning space right now is like using Lightning as a way to pay AI models and APIs,
yeah,
or as like a way for different AI models to pay for each other and in a kind of circular fashion. But I think that's one opportunity here that is a big one, which is creating an open and accessible marketplace for people who want to use music and be able to easily buy the rights to that music for whatever they're doing. And right now it is very like open and free, but there probably will come a point where people want to, like you're saying, restrict the access to their music for like a set of use cases. And then if it's outside of that, then it's like, contact me, outside, you know, contact me and we can talk about, what the price or what the terms would look like.
Yeah, I mean, it seems kind of daunting to think about it now, but it's just because there's just not people building this stuff. I mean, all it's going to take is just,
there's no standard for it.
Yeah, there's no standard, and there's no people. I mean, we need people to think outside the box and start building things, you know, that are going to inspire other people to build things and implement things, and just having conversations like this, you know, this will further inspire us to go down a path and having conversations with people like Julie Costello, who this is very important for her right now, because, you know, she's living and working in a world where she needs answers maybe faster than we do, you know, because she has,
yeah,
she's working with her daughter, who's a very active musician, working with people who are in a very active normie land music world in Nashville, and with publishing companies and all that stuff. So but yeah, I mean, I think we were just talking the other day about how like crazy it is that there's so much happening already, but there's still really not that much happening, you know? Like, there's, yeah, a lot happening comparatively to like a couple of years ago. There's a ton of stuff out there. It's like, we're here, Fountain's implementing music, and you got RSS Blue and these other hosts and stuff that are now coming online and starting to do stuff, and everyone's getting real jazzed about music in this space, but there's still very little, like, as far as utility goes. It's all kind of the stuff that's happening. That's the thing you tend to see, is sort of the same thing just being replicated when something exciting happens. But what will happen in the next stage will be other people start building other utilities, other things that are actually needed outside of hosting and players and those types of things. You'll start seeing some actual, like, probably catalog utilities, database utilities, metrics and charts, yeah, and
I think
things that are going to be important to the industry that's coming soon, you know?
Yeah. I think that's an important point to always keep in mind, is that these licenses really are for a minority of situations. In most cases, you know, it's not going to be worth an artist's time, money, effort to go hunt down the people who are using their music in these sort of small, like, incremental ways that maybe aren't that aren't really of consequence.
Yeah,
it's really for this like 5 to 10% of situations where like something blows up, you know, or like some small video goes viral and like the creator used some song to like make that go viral. Like that was a core component of the song or the video. Or a song uses a sample that happens to be integral to it becoming a hit. I mean, all these like situations that are just, that just happen on the margins, but that's kind of, that's really what these protections are meant for, is to ensure that like in those situations, there's some recourse for the creator to be able to get their due. Yeah. I think like that's important to keep in mind, that in most cases, this stuff doesn't apply at all. Like it never.
Yeah, but what's hilarious is, think about how much that happens. What you just described happens every single day on TikTok. Like, think about like, we work with King Khan, who had a huge, I think it was the most played track on TikTok like of all time. I don't know if it is anymore, but at one point it was in the last year or so. And he wasn't getting compensated for that. I mean, he was, you know, maybe making like whatever the fraction of a penny is, but that, especially on a platform like that, where the music, like the video is happening because of the music. Like that's the way, that's the format of that thing, is like, this is a very specific trend that you have, if you're doing this trend, you have to do it to this track or else it's not the trend, you know? And that perfectly describes what you just were laying out. And I mean, most artists, I've mentioned on here before, it's like, I have a few friends that have, had songs on viral, you know, go viral on TikTok and stuff. And sometimes it if you can break over that barrier and get it into, get, it can break through into plays on Spotify and stuff. And then you, and other streaming sources, then maybe you can make it work for you. But most people are just excited that people are listening to that are hearing their music. I saw some video the other day, this girl, she was like, you know, this hasn't made me any money or anything. And someone was just breaking down how much this kind of actually sucks for me. But for me, no one's ever heard my music. So I'm actually just really happy about the last 48 hours of my life. I have people telling me how much this song means to them. And that's almost enough, you know. Maybe she'll change her mind.
Yeah.
When she sees that like something's been played 400 million times and now she has $12. But I think some of these conversations that we have and we've had with people, it's like we're trying to solve things too that also aren't solved now, you know, or like they're so busted already, or just you just don't need to really. Like there's things, I mean, look at Bandcamp, for example. Bandcamp didn't, there's no license for Bandcamp. There's no, there's nothing. They're a very specific service and they just said, hey, look, if you want to use Bandcamp, this is what it is. You know, it's like, it's free to listen to it. That was nut. That was actually crazy at the time. Like, it seems so normal now, but 15 years ago, 16 years ago when Bandcamp started, it was crazy to just be like, hey, I could just put this on my website and listen to it for free. The gateway that sort of opened that door, I think, was probably MySpace. If I remember correctly, you could add music players sort of in a renegade way to your MySpace profile. So that opened the door a little bit, coming off the heels of peer-to-peer file sharing and all that stuff. You know, it was unheard of, but it was like, but it's open, but you can buy it though. Like you listen to it, but if you like it, you have to buy it, you know, or go take the Radiohead route. And,
well, they did the pay what you want.
Yeah. They did the pay what you want thing, which was cool too. And that was, it worked. It totally worked. And they didn't try to
totally work. Yes.
They didn't try to reinvent anything. They just took some ideas that they saw from some things that had happened in the past and they saw a window and they took it, you know, and they didn't have to figure out a way to work themselves into an archaic system. They took an innovative approach and they took some little things that were sort of out there and they ran with them, and it worked for a long time, and it still works kind of, you know. It's not, now that it's been bought and sold a few times, it's not, doesn't have the same magic as it did maybe, but it is still there. People still use it. It's still a robust library, and it's super cool. And it's, I think it's important to remember, especially for us, that like, we don't have to try to squeeze ourselves into this old model. In fact, we need to do exactly the opposite. We don't care about the business. We care about the bands. We care about the artists, and we only need to protect them. We don't need to protect the industry at all.
On that note, let's play a song.
Yeah, what do you got?
So, I think this is great. This is, as you know, you just brought up Julie Costello. This is Ainsley Costello, but it's a remix of her song Two Ships by Jester. This just came out like in the last week or two.
Awesome.
I think this is fantastic. And I also just love seeing artists meet each other via this community.
Yeah. Me too.
And collaborating and just making cool things. So this is Two Ships, the Jester remix.
Can't fight inevitability, even though it's killing me. Can't explain why some things just end. Can't say we didn't try to reach the other side. Started as lovers, but ended it as friends. And we can't go back again.
Man, that's cool. That's a drastic change from the original. Changed the whole vibe completely. Even the rhythm, vocal rhythm and stuff.
It's a great interpretation.
Yeah, she has.
And I love the restraint. I love the restraint in the production. There's some drops that you expect and just holds back a little bit.
I almost forgot how good her voice is. So good.
Oh yeah, Ainsley. She's got a great voice.
So very powerful voice. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited to see her sing live at some point. In person.
As am I. Yeah, maybe we'll have something to share there soon.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool, man. Well, what's up?
We're wrapping this up. Yeah.
We're wrapping it up. Close the door.
Yeah.
There was in that song, there was like a little creaking door sound. Did you catch that?
Yes. I did. And it turns into like a little like instrumental part. So
yeah, I was like picturing that. Just like I was on an old rickety ship and someone was closing the door on me.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was. Should we start role playing?
Now we get a peek into the mind of Sam Means.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm picturing I'm on a ship with Chuck E. Cheese and with the demented pirates all. Yeah. It's Chuck E. Cheese, but they're all in pirate outfits. And that's a little throwback to last episode, people.
That's a deep cut.
That's a deep cut for sure.
Thank you for listening. Join us again in a couple weeks. We'll have another episode or volume of mixtape coming out next week.
You've been listening to Waveform, brought to you by WaveLake. WaveLake is a platform for artists to share their music beyond paywalls, and where fans can pay whatever they want using Bitcoin. Artists retain all the rights to their work and receive payments instantly via the Lightning Network. Find out more at wavelake.com. Waveform is produced by Sam Means and Michael Ree. Theme by Paul Birkin. I'm D++. Thanks for listening.
Sats go to you.
I can.
Sats go to you.
Drum kit.
Seriously. Sats go to you.
I can.
Sats go to you.
Drum kit.
Seriously. Sats go to you.
I can.
Sats go to you.
Drum kit.
Seriously. Sats go to you.
I can.
Sats go to you.
Drum kit.
Seriously. Sats go to you.
I can.
Sats go to you.
Drum kit.
Seriously. Sats go to you.
I can.
Sats go to you.
Drum kit.
Seriously. Sats go to you.
I can.
Sats go to you.
Drum kit.
Seriously. Sats go to you.
I can.
Sats go to you.
Drum kit.
Seriously.